Welcome to episode 19 of Superhero Speak. Did you guys hear that Ben Affleck is going to play Batman?
What?
I know, it's crazy. So I think we all need to sit down and talk about it. What do you think?
I think I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
All right, everyone. Well, here we go. It's the Ben Affleck Batman debate. And
I'm Batman.
Here we go.
I'm Batman.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the continuing adventures of Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave.
And this is Ben.
And this week we're doing something special. The nerd world was rocked, I believe, this week with the announcement that Ben Affleck will be playing the Dark Knight in the next Man of Steel movie. So we decided to quickly to put together a panel discussion to discuss that movie. And we have with us this week three guests. One you guys know from the show, he's been on already, is Johnny. I always say your name wrong. Fournier.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. The host of Nerd Unemployed.
How's it going?
My daughter, who is a big nerd herself, and a Batman fan, and a Ben Affleck fan, Melissa.
Hi, not a Ben Affleck fan.
Yeah, that's what you said. Never mind. You said that.
No! I said that I wasn't.
Oh, okay. And then I'm going to mess your name up, so we
that's
have...
That's okay.
Kalika?
Yes,
who is a friend of Johnny's and, from my understanding, a movie snob, so this should be good.
Is that what he said about me? Oh, yes. My goodness. I like to think of myself as a film nerd, not snob.
Oh,
that's fair enough. To put it. That's better like.
So to kick us off, the internet has been abuzz since this announcement. I mean, everywhere. You can't go on Facebook, Twitter, anything without seeing someone talking about this topic right now.
Yeah.
And
even before the announcement, it's sort of been abuzz with the rumors of who it was going to be anyway. My guess is, to some extent, the announcement was to sort of abate that. I don't know if that made it better. But
no, I think it made it much worse. Because it was fun to play who's going to be Batman for a while.
Right, there was quite a list of contenders that were thrown about for the part, ranging from bringing back Christian Bale to, you know, maybe Orlando Bloom and, you know, Ryan Gosling and various other people were bandied about.
So I think what I'd like to do is go around the room and just real quick, tell us your thoughts on it. So we'll start with you, Ben.
So I'm going to say I'm optimistic. I'm not saying I'm 100% sold on it, but I am optimistic that it actually can work out well. I understand that there's a lot of animosity about it. People are not fans of his depiction in Daredevil, and don't necessarily see that he could carry the cowl, so to speak. But I think he could. I think he's done a number of dramatic roles that have proved that he has range. That he can do more than we've seen him really do in some of those types of roles. And additionally, I think that there's a long-standing thing. My reservations are not with him as much as they are with the writing and direction. Because, you know, an example that Dave and I, you know, discussed earlier in the week, you know, for instance, Chris Evans, when he first was announced to play the part of Steve Rogers in Captain America, I, as well as many fans, felt the same way as people are feeling now about Ben Affleck being cast as Batman. We didn't see it. It didn't fit. You know, we saw him as a semi-decent Johnny Storm, but it didn't really fit the part of Steve Rogers. And then the movie came out, and it was great. And it's a combination of the fact that he is, in fact, a good actor, but he was very well directed, and the movie was well written. So, in the same token, if this movie is well written, which we know it hasn't been yet, but if it is, then I think he could play the part. I'm optimistic.
We'll have to explain to you what real quick means, Ben.
Yeah, apparently.
All right. And Johnny?
I guess that I too am optimistic. Is there an echo?
Yeah, a slight echo.
I think there's a little.
Hang on.
All right, we'll go to you, Melissa. Well, Johnny okay. Figures out his technical problems.
Well, I think he could play a good Bruce Wayne, but I'm not so sure about him playing Batman. I don't know. I hope it goes well, but I have some doubts.
All right, and Kalika?
I agree, actually. Well, let me put it this way. I'm optimistic. I have become a fan of Ben Affleck more and more over the years. And I'm willing to sort of hedge my bets a little bit and just wait and see how this is going to turn out. So I'm trying to reserve judgment and not do the typical nerd thing, which is to judge it before we've seen it and just give it a chance. So I'm not over the moon about it, but I'm not ready to flip over trash cans about it either. So I want to see how this turns out. I have a lot of reservations about Zack Snyder, just in general. I haven't shaken off Sucker Punch, so that's if there's anything that I am worried about, it will constantly be his involvement. And but Nolan, I have the utmost respect for, so it kind of balances out. So I don't know. I'm gonna wait and see. I'm gonna try my best to not put too much judgment on it before I've actually seen what it's gonna look like, and then I will judge the crap out of it once I've seen it.
All right, Johnny, you there?
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully, there's no echo.
Oh, there it is.
Oh,
well, good. Proceed anyway.
Anyways, so I guess what I'm thinking is I'm also really optimistic about the idea. I think by now, Affleck's kind of grown into himself as an actor and a director and a writer. And I think that if there was a time for him to try a role like Batman, that it might be now.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, and everyone seems to have given a fair opinion. Me, when I heard it, you guys are all familiar with the Christian Bale rant from Terminator Salvation?
Sure.
Yeah, that's exactly what went through my head when I heard the news. No! No! I don't know. And again, it's the stigma, I think, of Daredevil. It's, and movies like Jersey Girl and whatnot. And my biggest fear is that the reason he was chosen was not because of his quality as an actor, but because he's money right now. You know, he just won an Academy Award for Argo. Actually won a couple, I think. And, so it's, you know, let's get a real big name who could fit the part and throw him in. That's what it feels like to me. Not let's find the right guy for the job. Let's find the guy who's going to guarantee us an audience. And it makes me feel like, okay, well, then this movie's more of a publicity stunt than it is an actual Batman Superman movie. And, you know, it makes me afraid of the quality of the movie we're going to get. So that's my opinion. You know, I know people don't share that. You know, people like Ben.
So. I think you make a valid point. You know, he is a big name now, and people, it's kind of trendy to be on Team Affleck. But so I think you make a really valid point that his name may precede the actual performance itself. But I think he has the potential to pull it off. And Daredevil and Jersey Girl were bad, so...
I don't think anyone's going to argue against those.
I can relate to the apprehension and the anger on the internet, for sure, but I don't know. I think he's grown so much since then that, as an actor.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, though, I bring those up because people say, oh, why bring that up? But it's... And when an actor gets as big as he is, they bring all that baggage with them. You know, all the bad roles that they've done come with them when they go and do a role like this. And that is going to, affect people's decision about the movie before they see it. You know, obviously, I mean, if you look on the internet, you're going to see that it's all over the place. And that's what one of my big issues is. I don't want it to affect it. I don't want people to not see this movie because this is our opportunity to get to a Justice League movie. And if it hurts the franchise because they picked Ben Affleck and the movie ends up flopping, then we're going to have to start all over again, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I just think back to when Johnny and I first met each other, and one of the first conversations we had was about Christopher Nolan taking over the Batman universe, mm-hmm. and Christian Bale. And it was a friendly conversation, but it was rather heated. And I came from the point of view that Nolan would be able to bring a lot of depth to the character of Batman in a way that we've never seen before, and really kind of open up that world and kind of parallel what's happening in the comic book world, be able to bring that forth visually. And Johnny just kept bringing up how much he hated what's his name, Johnny? The one you hate so much.
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, yeah.
Yeah.
sorry, I said his name. So I think in this case, maybe that's why I feel the way I do. It's like, I'm willing to give this guy a chance. And I do think, yeah, he does bring all of that, and everybody's going to be in the theater with their, you know, with all that baggage there, and it could possibly ruin the franchise. But I don't know. I guess as I get older, I get more hopeful that I can sit in a theater and sort of put all that aside and be sucked into the world of Batman and whoever's playing him, yeah. As long as it's a good movie.
Yeah, and you bring up the Nolan Batmans, and I actually, you know, that's one of the, thinking about those is one of the reasons I am optimistic about this, because I recall at the time, like when Batman Begin was still in production and in the works, I remember thinking to myself, it's like, how is this kid from Newsies going to play Batman? You know, it didn't fit. You know, I could not picture Christian Bale playing that part. It didn't fit in my head. But obviously, he did a spectacular job. Despite the throat cancer voice, he did a great job as Batman through those movies. So...
Yeah, no, and I agree that, you know, that Christian Bale did a great job. You know, I mean, there are definite issues with that trilogy, and it's definitely a Batman. We've talked about this on the podcast, I think, already, is that was a Batman who really wouldn't have fit into a Justice League movie.
Right,
Which is why they really needed to reintroduce him. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Nolan did a great job. He definitely respected the material to a point, other than the retirement aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got a tweet here from one of our followers on Twitter. Great choice. The man's in form currently and has the age, appearance, and gravitas needed for the role. So that actually brings me to another interesting point. I mean, no, they wanted to go a little older for this, but one of the reasons I'm having an issue with going older is we're hoping this will grow into Justice League, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it takes 7 years to get there, 8 years to get there, will Ben Affleck be too old by the time we get to a Justice League movie?
It's a valid concern. I don't think so. I mean, he's 41 now, mm-hmm. and doesn't even look that age. I think that he, for one, I don't think he's going anywhere. And for two, I think that, you know, I think he's aging well, so I think that he can still be able to pull it off, you know, when he's getting closer to 50. So, again, I'm optimistic.
What does Johnny think?
The interesting thing that I always kind of was confused about when this happened was people were bringing up Daredevil a lot, and, what?
You're breaking up.
Oh. So, the thing that really confused me about it is that people are harping on him for a movie he did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it goes back to your, you know, the kid from Newsies doing Batman, and Mr. Mom did Batman. So, yeah. I mean, and it's hard to say. There's very few Batmans that have been, like, perfect from the get.
True.
Yeah, no, and that's true. I think people are harping on Daredevil because, you know, it's the other superhero movie that he did. You know, I mean, that movie suffered from...
Right, it's in genre.
Right, it suffered from a really bad script for introducing a character. It suffered from, you know, a bad cut that was released in the theaters. Have you seen the director's cut?
I haven't.
How about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, and everyone I know that didn't like the theatrical version who's seen the director's cut is like, oh, it's so much better. So, I mean, I think that's an important fact to bring up as well. But,
I think one of the other things with Daredevil, though, is I think Daredevil suffered from a lot of the same problems that Green Lantern suffered from, in that they tried to do too much and introduce too many, build too many characters, you know, that we didn't know in a single movie. So, you know, they're introducing Daredevil, but they're also introducing Elektra and Kingpin and Bullseye and trying to develop all these characters and develop all these plot lines and close them at the end as well. You know, I think that, you know, Green Lantern suffered the same problems, that they tried to introduce too many plot points and tie them all up by the end. And I think that's overreaching. I think it's enough to develop just a hero or just a villain in the course of a movie. I mean, I had a similar discussion along these lines with someone recently, in that, like, you look at the original Michael Keaton Batman movie. That actually wasn't really a Batman movie. That was a Joker movie. Joker was the character they developed in that movie. Mm-hmm. Batman was just sort of there. And it was a good movie because Batman was Batman, and the Joker was compelling. And it was a good story, and it had a beginning, middle, and end. And similarly, we've seen, you know, plenty, some decent superhero stories where they literally just sort of introduce and develop the hero, you know, where it's a character arc, you know, and not necessarily, you know, trying to introduce too many things all at once.
Right, and I think the other thing that Daredevil suffered from is, they were still going through the, and they still do it to a point, we have to have a love interest in this movie as well. I think they could have told a great Daredevil movie without Elektra in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been someone else. Or it could have even been her, but not introduced the Elektra concept, necessarily.
Right. Or just don't have a love interest.
Yeah.
You know, make it about the relationship between him and Kingpin, you know?
Right.
So... Yeah,
plus, they literally and figuratively kneecap themselves by having him take out Kingpin by the end of the movie. You know, right. where do you go from there?
You don't go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, and then, you know, also, you know, back to the point of, you know, my fear of it being more of a publicity thing, more of getting buzz around the movie, it's, you know... They announced the movie before they had a script. You know, now they're announcing a Batman before they have a script. You know, there hasn't been much talk around it and what the tone of the movie is really going to be.
Right.
And, you know, it's, you know, to their credit, you know, it's a movie business. You know, they need to make money. And to their credit, people are talking about it. There is a buzz.
Yeah, but they don't need a script. We wrote them one.
Yes, we did. And if they're smart, they listen to that episode. Writing it down right now, yes.
I guess the only thing that I would have to say in the defense of that is that we know, or we're familiar with the idea that they're not going to spend any time introducing Batman as far as his origin, just introducing him to the world of Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having them decide on who they want already, I think it's just a part of showing that their direction is more or less solidified, regardless of what the overall script will be, like the nitty-gritty of this script is. They're very clear on the direction that they want to take the series leading into the Justice League, and maybe they feel Ben Affleck's the guy to do that.
See, that's the piece that kind of concerns me a little bit. I think we need to not... The script is the most important aspect of it, and the film will either be great or terrible because of it. Yeah. So I hope that they take the time that's needed to make a good movie that they're making now, and not so much about where we're leading up to the Justice League, because if you lose focus and the script is just going to suffer from it.
Agreed. And yeah, and the only thing that really has me hesitant at all about this is the fact that, you know, like, for instance, if this was Marvel, if Marvel announced tomorrow that Ben Affleck was cast as Doctor Strange and didn't have a script yet for it, I would have the utmost confidence that they knew what they were doing, because they've proven it. They've done so with the movies they've created to date.
Right.
So I would have no lack of confidence that what we were going to get was, that they knew what they were doing, and what we were going to get was going to be quality. Whereas, you know, DC hasn't proven that. They haven't really done enough to show that they're really, you know, they have, you know, the skills to pay the bills, so to speak. They put out Man of Steel, which we all had our mixed, you know, mixed impressions of and misgivings about. I think it's a decent starting point, a launching point, but it's not solid enough to know that what's going to follow is going to be great, per se.
Right, and that's, I guess that's also part of the reason that I have more of an issue with it, is I didn't like Man of Steel, you know? I had my issues with it, so now to hear Ben Affleck's going to be Batman and Man of Steel 2, well, I didn't like the first one, and I don't... That makes me go, well, is this a great choice, you know? And that's, you know... And people like me who didn't like it are probably reacting the same way.
Yeah.
What do you think, Melissa?
Well, I did not like the Man of Steel movie. It felt like the whole thing was rushed or going way too slow. And the fact that they're rushing into another movie so soon and reinventing a character so soon, it does concern me.
All right. Anyone else?
I'm willing to give the guy a chance. I'm willing to give the situation a chance.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, I had my issues with Man of Steel, too. I think overall, I had more of a positive point of view on it. But there was definitely some problems there. But they need to... I hope that they're going to focus on the movie that they're making next and really not focus so much on the Justice League aspect of it, because if they fail at this, the Justice League film is going to fail.
Right. It's out of grasp, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can look at it too. I mean, there's one of two ways it can go. Well, not one of two ways, but with the relationship between Batman and Superman, I mean, they can go, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, we're buddies, you know, we're super friends, type relationship that I don't think anyone in today's world wants to see on the big screen. You know, the other way to go is the antithesis, you know, the Dark Knight against the big blue Boy Scout. Not necessarily them fighting, but just them complimenting each other. You know, which is my hope, because build off of Man of Steel and all of the destruction and Superman not really being the beacon of light and hope that, you know, a lot of people like from the comic books, they could use... Wow, someone gave me big feedback.
That would be my cat.
It sounds like my daughter's making a lot of noise, too.
I'm making my dinner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the dog's prancing. Sorry.
Prancing?
Yes, our dog
prances. He prances.
Anyway, so, you know, to now take a dark character and have him, and have Superman be the opposite, the polar opposite, the light character versus the dark character, which is great. But then, can Ben Affleck pull that off? Can he be the dark, brooding, character that we need to make Superman look like the light character against him?
Yeah, that's a valid question, and I don't know. I haven't seen The Town, which I would say arguably is one of his, you know, darker, you know, roles that he's played in recent history. But apparently it has been very critically acclaimed. I did see Argo, and some of his other more recent movies, and he has illustrated a degree of range. The fact that he can write and direct pieces like that shows that he understands the different characterizations, so arguably he might be able to also depict them. But it's hard to say. I think it's sort of a thing we're going to have to wait and see. And honestly, I'll posit this question. I mean, I understand the level of backlash and whatnot related to this, but I think part of the problem right now is the fact that they're announcing who it is. Like, it could have been anyone, and I don't think anyone would have sounded right, knowing how little of this has been developed so far.
Right. Let's see. Megan White posted, Affleck can't do action, and now he will take Batman and Superman down.
I disagree with the action assessment. Because he's done some action, you know, in his career that he's done well in. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, my wife pulled up Some of Fears and started watching that on Netflix today just to sort of gauge that as a reminder of him playing a little bit more of an action role. It was a Jack Ryan movie. And I remember watching that and enjoying him in that role. You know, and I've said this about a lot of people in a lot of ways, I don't think he was the problem with that movie. Because I know that it didn't really, you know, pick up or continue as a path. But I think he has the capacity for action.
Joaquin Young, we all said the same thing about Christian Bale, and people like to ride his bat pod all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that a lot of people said similar things about a lot of the casting, you know, like I said, with Chris Evans as Captain America, there was similar doubts and animosity about Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man back in the day, because at the time he was down and out. He was recovering drug addict and alcoholic, and, you know, people didn't think he could carry a part.
Right.
So I think that there's plenty of examples of this type of reaction from fans that has come to be proven wrong.
Right. And the one thing I saw today that disturbed me a little bit, there was an article, there's a Batman Superman fan site that went up after the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And someone and people started emailing death threats to them.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Yeah. So
that's insane.
Yeah. Welcome to the internet of the
new
millennium.
This is what I'm worried about. If what ends up happening is people so berate Ben Affleck, or you know anybody involved in making this decision, that they reverse it, then when will it stop?
Right, but and if they were to reverse it, that shows a lack of credibility, really, on their part.
Right.
If they can't stick to their guns, you know, if they can't say, look, you know, we understand you guys have some misgivings. You know, give us a chance, wait and see, and, you know, let it ride. Because, you know, I also thought that Russell Crowe as Jor-El seemed a little weird, but he played it off well. He did a decent job with it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think, I think Warner Brothers will take the same stance as the American government. We don't negotiate with terrorists. Yeah, so I don't think we need to worry about them reversing this. You know, it's, again, just having the script that can complement his acting and work well with, you know, the story we want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I agree. He's done action. I mean, he's done, you know, Daredevil. He's done Paycheck, you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, Paycheck. Oh, I forgot about Paycheck.
That was a bad movie.
It was enjoyable, though. It was popcorn.
Wow. Ugh.
It might be the worst representation of a Philip K. Dick story.
Far ever. None. Yeah, ever, I think.
Yeah. Really?
I kind of wish you hadn't brought that up, because now I'm, like, thinking about it again. I'm like, God damn it, that was a bad movie.
Everybody's going to have their own opinions about each movie.
Yeah. And I think getting back to one point, I mean, Ben Affleck also, like Robert Downey Jr., has that history of substance abuse in the past, and people hate on Ben a lot because of that whole Bennifer BS and then also the substance abuse issues that he had, and he kind of has a similar story as Robert Downey Jr. in that aspect of it. Granted, Robert Downey Jr. didn't date Jennifer Lopez, but yeah. And I think that's why, because looking back at his film history, I mean, he isn't that bad. I mean, yes, he's done some bad movies, but a lot of people can point that it wasn't him that was bad about it. It was the script or the cut or the director or what have you. And especially of late, like I've seen The Town, and he's developed as a pretty decent actor. I mean, decent is putting it lightly. I mean, he definitely showed a lot of depth in The Town. He showed a lot of depth in Argo as well. And, I don't know. I think people are counting him out based upon the past. And I mean, we can all sit here and think and pull up, you know, Christian Bale's horrible movies. And, you know, I think of Christian Bale, I think of Terminator 3. I mean, that was crap, you know. Even though I personally have a soft spot in my heart for Newsies, but that's just because I saw it when I was a teenage girl. But
I was putting down the movie. I thought it was a decent movie. I just didn't picture that transition.
Yeah, no, it's hard.
Well, he was 14 when he did that movie, right? So
yeah. it's hard to. I mean, we can all pick apart, and I think it's unfortunate that we've gotten to a place, and I know I love Batman like the next person. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to see anybody screw up Batman. And I, you know, Johnny has more of a love for Superman, but I in general think this is an exciting time in comic book movies. And I think it's amazing that we're getting to see these things on the big screen and that they're making a crap ton of money. Mm-hmm. But we can sit here and pick apart every actor in every successful comic book movie that has done crappy work. But I really think as far as Ben playing – where the Dark Knight Returns, that character-ish, I think is what they're basing it on. I think he does have the gravity, and I think he's shown it recently. Now, his past, maybe not so much, but I think, and he also has a self-deprecatingness about him and sensibility that I think he can add to Bruce Wayne Batman. That will be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, I have to think, you know, and this is kind of a statement in his defense. You know, he's not an idiot. He has to be looking at the articles online, the tweets, the listening to some of the podcasts and whatnot. And, you know, he knows people didn't like Daredevil. You know, he wanted that role. He wanted to be a superhero. You know, you hear all the time that he auditioned for that role and what's the word I'm looking for? Campaigned to get it, you know, and then he got the role and, you know, the movie didn't do well. So.
Yeah. It was too early, really. It was the wrong time for it.
Right. So, I mean, he has to be going into this saying, all right, I have to prove people that I can be Batman, you know.
Right.
You know, yeah, so you know he's going to give 110% in this.
Right.
Well, there was something interesting, too, when you were talking about how worried he was because of his age.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I found kind of cool. I like the idea that as fresh-faced as Superman is in the world,
mm-hmm.
And how he's going to find his way, that the age and the wisdom that Batman will have kind of will add to his like validity and how set he is in the world, how aware he is of what Superman's capable of, instead right. of a young-faced guy who'd be like, I don't know what you are, etc.
No, I mean, I think Snyder came out and said that was one of the reasons they were going older. Was to offset the, you know, like you said, the fresh faceness of Superman. Let's have the chiseled.
Although it's funny that we're calling a 33-year-old fresh faced.
But you're right. You know, but like, yes, I mean, there's definitely a lot of issues in Man of Steel where it was like, yeah, he's this guy with all these powers, but he had no experience in really using them. You know, so now let's have Batman as he's been doing this for years and he has experience. You know, it makes sense in that respect, yes.
Well, more seasoned.
Seasoned, okay. Yeah.
And I know that that Affleck might be, wait, I think in your blog post you're writing by Justice League, he might be in his 50s.
Right.
He doesn't look it.
Right, no, I don't think he does. I think he doesn't look the age he is, which he's like 41 now and he doesn't come off as 41.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what Hollywood will do for you.
Yes. They have people for that.
Yes. We don't. And that's why we look the way we do.
Right. That's why we're
speak for yourself.
That's why we do audio only for these things.
Yes. We have faces for radio.
That's for true.
Oh, yes. So
the two actors, the juxtaposition of the two actors, I'm really curious to see them performing together because in a way they parallel on their own. They're like, you know, Ben Affleck is more seasoned of an actor than Henry Cavill. So I think it's interesting how that they have a real life parallel as well as a parallel in the film. So I'm really curious to see them, the two of them together.
Really yeah. Curious. Go ahead.
That was it.
Oh, no, Johnny was about to say something.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah, and if that makes sense as well. You know, if they want that to play in real life. I mean, look at, again, we brought up Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr. and Favreau. he really wanted him in that role. Like, he did everything in his power to make sure Robert Downey Jr. was Iron Man. Why? Because his life paralleled Iron Man's real life in a lot of ways. And, you know, and he was so right in that. So, you know, hopefully there's someone over who Warner Brothers who's making the same kind of decision here. You know.
Are you trying to suggest that Batman's made suggestive romantic connections in the past?
The juxtaposition of the experience versus the non-experience.
I know.
But yeah, maybe Batman has. I don't know. Let's see. Vicky Dale? Well,
here's an interesting thought, though, on that whole thing is, you know, Iron Man, you know, no one argues that Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. You know, those people go together. They are the same. But if you look at Iron Man historically, prior to the movies, you know, he was not a lot of the qualities that were written as what he was as Tony Stark in the first Iron Man movie, you know, the playboy type role, those were not there. Tony Stark was a fairly flat character throughout the comics leading up to this point. They fleshed him out a lot for the role of the movie. And so I think it's easy for him to be Iron Man when there isn't a lot to argue with as far as who Iron Man is. Batman, however, does have some very specific archetypes that people know and recognize for him to have, partially because he's been in films various times, so the greater public has some perception of what Batman is, and also because he's been around in the comics a lot longer, and there is an archetype that people expect from that character. So I think it is a little bit more challenging in that respect for anyone to step into those boots and into the cowl.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, and I guess one of the things, too, is, you know, I hope he does his research on the character, you know, and understands, you know, who the character is, because he's been around for so long and he means something to a lot of different people. You know, I mean, so many people are Batman fans, and I think, you know, one of my favorite lines from Big Bang Theory, you know, Sheldon and Leonard are talking, and Sheldon goes, you know, for me to become Green Lantern, I'd have to be picked by the Guardians of Oa, but with enough startup capital, I could be Batman, you know, and Leonard goes, you couldn't be Batman, and Sheldon just goes, I'm Batman, see? But, you know, I mean, it's the same kind of idea that with Spider-Man, you know, Spider-Man means a lot to people because he has a costume that completely covers him. So, and he could be anyone under the mask, you know.
Right.
People like Batman because, you know, yeah, if I had enough money and training, I could do that. I could be that superhero. And that's, I think, why so many people like Batman, you know, and...
Yeah, but with Spider-Man, it's not just the mask. I think that does give him give people the ability to imagine themselves in under that mask. But I think what people relate to in Spider-Man is that he's, you know, he's that nerdy kid that is constantly standing up to the bullies and telling them off and wisecracking at them, you know, as part of who he is and as part of what he does, you know, and that's, people relate to that. People want to, you know, wish they had that kind of courage in their own lives to get away with those things. And I think that's what people identify with.
True. I'll give you that. What do you guys think?
I think that Batman has a one-track mind more than anybody, or more of a stalwart... what am I trying to say here?
Batman's afraid of guns.
That's not what I was trying to say.
He has a very...
I don't know that he's afraid of them.
Well, he has an aversion to guns. I think really a lot of what he is rooted in that his parents were killed by a gun, and he, as a result, hates guns and hates crime, and, you know, wants to be... He's that justified rage that wants to, you know, cleanse the world of these types of this type of violence.
I think that's part of it. I mean, what I was trying to say is that he's so focused on solving injustices in his city that it as people have said, it borders on insanity. Nobody else can fight the war like Bruce Wayne can.
Certainly.
And nobody has the resolve to do it as long as he does. So when we say anybody can be Batman, yeah, anybody can put on a suit and be trained to fight, but nobody but Bruce Wayne can continue that war.
Right. He's the only one crazy enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, definitely. You have to be crazy to do it in the first place.
Right, and I'm actually hoping that whoever's writing this, and hopefully they're still listening to our podcast, whoever is writing the script for this, that they use this as an opportunity to show, you know, this grizzled, you know, slightly older Batman, who is this determined, you know, slightly neurotic character that helps shape Superman into the Boy Scout that we expect him to be. That he sees, like, whoa, I don't want to go down that dark path. I want to be better than that.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and then I think one of the other characteristics that maybe you were getting at, Johnny, is that he has a driven sense of justice.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's been depicted in the comics as well, is that it's not a system, it's not the American justice system, it's justice. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if anyone here has ever read the Swamp Thing run that Alan Moore did, but Kevin Smith just talked about it on Fat Man on Batman, and in the story, Swamp Thing comes to Gotham City because his girlfriend gets arrested, and he basically takes over. Swamp Thing has all these powers, and he takes over Gotham City, and you know, he says he wants his wife back. He wants his wife back. And Batman goes to the commissioner and goes, well, what did she do? You know, oh, well, she had relations with this creature, you know. And he's like, and? You know, like, basically, you know, what she did wasn't unjust. She didn't hurt anyone. She had a relationship with, you know, Swamp Thing. And, you know, so he was like, release her. This makes no sense, you know. So again, it's a sense of justice as opposed to, oh, we have to follow the letter of the law. You know, so that's something I think they also need to kind of show, you know, in the movie. You know, we have a movie where we're introducing Batman into an established Superman world, and we don't want to rehash his origin story, but we have to get a sense of who the character is.
Right.
Yeah. This movie's carrying a lot of weight, I think.
Yes.
I think that this movie really gives us a chance to see Batman in more depth than, like what Ben was saying earlier, he's afraid of guns. Everything is driven. In the other movies, everything comes from the origin story. That's where you learn all of what he is about.
Mm-hmm.
In this new movie, we're going to have to figure out what he's about. I mean, we already know, but in the movie, we'll have to figure out what he's about from what he does, and that's more interesting.
I agree. That's the part I'm most excited about, is that we're jumping in and we're not retelling the Batman origin story. We're jumping in and we're having to figure out who this guy is, what his motivation is at this moment in this situation, and I think that is the thing that makes me the most excited about when I first heard that they were going to do this. This is the thing that made me excited and want to see it.
I think that what's even cooler than that, too, is that we're going to find out who Batman is standing in the face of what is basically a god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And how he reacts to that.
True. How does the ultimate detective react to meeting a god? For the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a good question. I'm sure we can turn to comic books to find the answer.
Yeah.
Slaps him across the face.
Breaks his hand.
Well, he needs to find kryptonite for that.
Right.
I was going to say, I don't remember now. What about dead air. Here we go.
So basically, do we think Affleck can do this?
Yes, there we go. Yes. Do we want to? That's what I was going to say.
Do you want to summarize? Yeah, I think that's everyone. Some final thoughts.
All right, so Ben, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I'm still sort of staying where I am. I'm saying maybe. I'm optimistic, and I think it really is dependent on the script. I think that if Ben Affleck fails as Batman, I'm not necessarily blaming Ben Affleck.
Johnny?
I think Ben Affleck is very aware that Batman doesn't need to sound like he's been gargling gravel, which will be a change. And I guess the last thing that I could say is, imagine who Ben Affleck's Ducard is.
Okay.
Just Kevin Smith. So, if Affleck needs to know anything about Batman, he knows who to go to.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Melissa?
I definitely think he can do Bruce Wayne, like I said before. I'm hopeful he'll be able to do Batman, but we'll see. I mean, really, I have to wait to have more information.
And, jeez.
Kalika.
Oh my god, it just went blank out of my head. Yes,
Kalika. No, no worries. I actually agree a lot with Ben. I'm positive, I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic to see where this goes. If there's anything that I'm really nervous about is the script, and I hope that they really focus on that and give us a good film. And I think the internet needs to cool it and relax and wait until you actually see before you judge.
Well, the internet's never going to cool it.
Yeah, I know. I know they're never going to cool it, but I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Sure.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. This is gonna go on, probably for at least the next 6 months. It's gonna go on until we either
preview.
Right. Well, I was gonna say get ideas of what's in the script. Like when they start saying, "Oh, we're drawing from," let's say they say we're drawing from The Long Halloween or The World's Finest or Man of Tomorrow or any of those stories. You know, then people might start calming down a little bit and talk more about what's going to happen in the movie or, right, first previews hit. Yeah, so, you know.
Or they tell us some other more outrageous casting thing that'll send us all into a new tizzy.
Well, they're talking about, what's his face from Breaking Bad?
Bryan Cranston
as being Lex Luthor.
Really?
What?
You're in favor of that, I gather.
I'm in favor. Wait a minute, hold on.
I don't know. I'm not. I like Bryan Cranston. I don't know if I can picture it. I don't know if I can see it.
Do you want Bryan Cranston as Heisenberg playing Lex Luthor? Yes. Bryan Cranston from Malcolm in the Middle? Not so much.
Right. Agreed.
I'm in full support of it. Give Bryan Cranston that job.
Oh, yeah, because he's hurting so bad right now.
It's not about hurt. I just want to continue to see him in anything I can see him in.
And the only other name was, and it wasn't someone that they said, but Michael Rosenbaum came out and said he wanted to be Lex Luthor.
I want to see that. That I would love to see.
But he did it.
He did it.
And I'd like to see him do it again.
I don't think they'd give it to him.
Yeah.
He was a good Lex Luthor in Smallville.
He was a great Lex Luthor.
For a different show, for a different time.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez, that should have been the topic. Anyway. Alright, so right. You know, and it's funny, I was saying earlier today that I don't think we're gonna see this movie because of Ben Affleck, but you know, my daughter talked to me and said, you know, at least wait till the trailer comes out to make the decision. So, you know, that's the boat I'm in right now. I'm going to wait for the trailers, which they're fast tracking it so much, probably will be out before we know it.
Right.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Next Comic-Con.
And you know he was the bomb in Phantoms.
He was the bomb in Phantoms, yo! It's so funny that you mentioned that, because I'll send you a link.
Oh, man. Yes.
Sorry, I just... And aside from the Phantoms bomb, I wanted to say, because you said you were thinking about not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, when the first Transformers movie came out, and it's bad, I did go see it. And I think the one thing I realized afterwards is, at least within our lifetime, somebody put this on film.
Right.
Yeah.
So even if it's bad, and I don't think any of us think that it will be. We're kind of hoping optimistically it'll be great. Within our lifetime, Batman and Superman on the silver screen together. That, I mean, we live in the golden age.
You can't miss it. You have to. You have to go. Yeah. Like I couldn't imagine staying home. Like
right. Even if it's a train wreck, you have to watch it.
Exactly.
All right. So in summary, yes, we're all optimistic and hopeful it'll be a great movie. And Affleck, you have some reading to do. If you need any recommendations, talk to your good friend
Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith over there. And for everyone listening, as always, don't let your cape be caught in the door. Have a good week. All right.
Oh, I should have said Fear Geely.
Hey, everyone. You just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John, and you can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com. And if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.